What goes on behind the scenes in Pacific politics and how does it affect us? Polytalk is back to unpack the big questions, like why is no one talking about PNG's political refugee crisis?
I can't even call it an election. It was something like a criminal tug war.
Join me, Scott Whitey, as I chat all things Pacific politics on Polytalk.
Search up Polytalk in your favorite podcast app to listen.
This is an ABC podcast.
Does your child have challenges with speaking, making eye contact, or sitting still? Maybe they can't read words or understand social cues. Quite often, they're mistaken for being naughty. But these are just a few of the behaviors kids with ADHD, autism, or learning difficulties display, and they come under an umbrella term, neurodivergence. As a mother of a daughter with ADHD, I know that raising a neurodivergent child in a Pacific community can be a wonderful mix of love, challenges, and a cultural balancing act. On the one hand, in the Pacific, there is a lot of support from extended family to give parents extra help when raising a child with special needs. But on the other hand, neurodivergence isn't widely understood. Adding to that, neurodivergent children may need support from different therapists who are specially trained to help them develop things like speech, social skills, attention, and other everyday activities. These types of services aren't easily available in the Pacific. Today, I want you to meet three remarkable women who work hard to improve the lives of neurodivergent children and their families. I'm Natasha Metten. Sisters, let's talk about raising neurodivergent children. You might have heard the term neurodivergent used before, but what does it actually mean? Let me explain. It's a word used to describe people whose brains develop and work in a way that differs from what is considered typical. The most commonly known neurodivergent conditions are attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or ADHD, autism spectrum disorder, and dyslexia. And while these conditions are seen as disorders, they come with strengths as well. Often, it depends on how inclusive the rest of the world is of neurodivergent people. Changing your expectations of how people should behave can make an enormous difference. That's one of the reasons why Betty Kolose Pulefalau started the Pacifica Autism Support Group. She's a New Zealand-based Samoan mom of three whose adult son has autism.
When my son was 3.5 years old, he was diagnosed with autism. He wasn't talking. He preferred to play by himself. He loves trains and he would line his toys up in the line. And he was quite passionate about Thomas the Tank. And he still loves trains to this day now, but he's moved more towards steam trains and bigger trains.
What prompted you to start the Pacifica Autism Support Group?
My husband and I, probably when my son was about 7, we attended a lot of workshops, but we noticed that there wasn't any other Pacifica families attending those workshops. So we was wondering how our other families will be getting support. And I knew that there were a lot of barriers that hindered our families from going to those workshops. For example, whether it be finances or just they're not quite sure what's available for them. So we wanted to create a safe space for our Pacifica families to come and learn, share from each other. First started was mostly boys. We noticed that we're on the spectrum and now there's quite a few girls that have been diagnosed on the spectrum. It's actually, the numbers are actually quite even.
And how large is the community?
We've probably got about up to 75 families. And when we talk about families, we're talking about some families have more than one child on the spectrum. I think one of our biggest family has four children on the spectrum, including a set of twins. When we have events for our support group, we invite the siblings, the aunties and uncles, the grandparents, because it's important for them as well to understand that they're not alone and that they will be able to see other families also on the same journey. So it's a great place for our Pacifica families just to come. It's held at a school, so it's quite a big hall. And we have sensory, we set up sensory items or resources around. The children can be themselves and our parents really feel it's a safe space for them.
Yeah. And how challenging is it explaining autism to your Pacifica relatives who don't understand the condition?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I think at the moment, because there's no word translated in the Pacifica language, only the we've got takiwaitanga, which is the Māori word for autism, but you know, in the Samoan and the Tongan and the Niuean languages, there was no word translated for autism. I mean, I think in the past, sometimes, and I'm talking from a Samoan perspective, some people will use negative words like ma'i, you know, call it as a sickness. And because it's a spectrum, a lot of our families don't see their child with a disability. They just know that their child has a different way of thinking and a different way of learning. So I think that's the challenge at the moment in our Pacifica community, is trying to explain it to the families. And some of the stigma could be some families face judgment from their families. And we've kind of encouraged the family because we've experienced it. But we try to tell them, communicate to who your team is around you. For example, if you're attending church, communicate with the church that your child has this condition and this is the way he learns. If he puts his hands over his ears, it doesn't mean that he doesn't want to listen to you. Probably he might have a sensory issue that he's just going through, maybe an overload, and probably just needs a bit of time out, probably outside. Maybe the noise or the worship music's too loud. It's important for us parents to advocate for their children and don't just, you know, like hide away, stay at home and not attend Pacifica functions. For me, it's just letting my family know what my son has and for them just to understand and embrace the journey that we're going through.
Betty, what's your message to families in the Pacific about raising an autistic child or a person with autism?
Your son is not less than, he's different. Your expectation for your son or your child may change over time. But if we let the world set expectation for our children, they will start low and they may stay there. That's a quote from The Accountant movie. I felt that it really shows that, you know, our children are capable, they are able. So set the standards high. We know our children. And even if we get the pushback from services, especially in the school system, you know your child well and they are brilliant. They have brilliant minds. It's just I'm an early childhood teacher and I see the gifts at such a young age and the children are very, very clever. For them, it's just the sensory issues, you know, that they're going through. So you need to really understand your child, get to know them, connect with your child. And also another thing, what autism has shown me, that as a parent, it's important that we practice self-care. We really need to prioritize to look after ourselves because our children need us and we need to be alert and just not overwhelmed or overstressed. Talk to someone, reach out. As a parent, it's really, really important that you get the support that you need.
That's Betty Kolose Pulefolau from the Pacifica Autism Support Group.
You're listening to Sisters, Let's Talk on ABC Radio Australia.
I mentioned earlier that there are a range of professionals who support people with neurodivergent conditions. People like speech therapists, pediatricians, and psychiatrists. Violet Erasito is a psychiatrist with the Colonial War Memorial Hospital in Fiji, which is one of the few services available there for neurodivergent kids and their families.
Where I work in Fiji,
help is available, but it's more or less in the central parts of Fiji, so in Suva. With regards to the health sector, we have psychiatry and pediatrics that look after children with neurodivergent conditions. So for psychiatry, it is very centralized. So we have an asylum in Suva called St. Giles, where we have the only child psychiatrist. And then we have the Colonial War Memorial Hospital. This is the main hospital for all of Fiji. And then we have other hospitals in the Western Division and in the North. So in the West and the North, we have psychiatrists, one psychiatrist in the West and several pediatricians. And in the North, we have pediatricians, but no psychiatrists. So the psychiatrists travel on a weekly and sometimes a monthly basis to these places. And the population and the area is quite large. And so people often only present when they are quite unwell or when they are unable to help them at home or in school. And a lot of the times people travel a very long way by boat or by plane to the major hospital where I work, which is the Colonial War Memorial Hospital, because I mean, it's understandable because they do not want to take their child to the asylum because of the stigma. We also have NGOs. We have the Hilton organization. And we have other special schools in the West as well. We have them in this town called Singatoka and I think in Lotoka and in Ba. But the Hilton special school is the only organization and school in Fiji that has a speech pathologist. And they do a lot of work with the neurodivergent children.
Violet, you mentioned communities' expectations of children. Can help come in the form of people being more aware and accepting of neurodivergence?
Yes, I think that's a very good point. Fiji, I like to think, is unique in a way. Our society tends to be a very caring and accommodating one, which can work against people with neurodivergent conditions, because I've come across a few cases where I've worked where parents tend to, you know, they have a child who's a little bit different and is not progressing in school, and they tend to accept these things and, you know, like leave it as it is because they're so accepting of differences. Where they could have come a bit earlier and sought help, and we could have helped the child with things such as speech and behavioral issues. So in a way, that is not a good thing, but with regards to awareness, because it's a small place and everybody likes to look after each other and know what everyone else is doing, awareness, a little bit of awareness will go a really long way in this country.
And how often do you see children who present these symptoms in Suva?
We see at least one a week, but we usually see those who have behavioral issues. So we'll only see those who have a severe problem. They are usually treated or are cared for by the NGOs, like the Hilton organization, and the pediatricians. We'll only see someone who has a neurodivergent condition if their condition is quite severe.
I see.
So we only see like the tip of the iceberg.
So do you think there are more children now than there were in the past?
It's hard to say because, like I said, a lot of parents, if their child is a little different from the other children, in Fiji they tend to keep them at home and the other kids will make up for everything else that this child isn't able to do. And so you're raised alongside people with neurodivergent conditions and you just accept them the way they are. That's the culture. But now because organizations like the NGOs that we have in Fiji have been doing a bit of awareness and, you know, there's TV and social media explosion, we have a lot more people presenting to the hospital. So I'm not sure whether the numbers have actually increased or the awareness has brought them out and enable them to come for help.
Do you work with parents who are raising neurodivergent children?
Yes, we do. However, we're quite fortunate because most of these parents, when they come to see us, they've been through other avenues. Mm. And those who have severe conditions, we can refer the families to the Hilton Special School. So I think they have this behavioral support team.
Is it challenging for them?
Yes, it's quite challenging for them, I would think, because a lot of the therapies that their children need are not readily available here. There's only one or two therapists here that can provide what children with this condition need. And in addition to that, they're only located in Suva. Also, the medication that sometimes is needed often is out of stock in our country. So at the moment, it is out of stock. And with regards to ADHD, in order to get treatment for ADHD, you need a psychiatrist's signature. And there's only a handful of us. And then you can only get it from the asylum pharmacy. I've had a few complaints from parents and frustrated parents on how difficult it is to just get the basics.
Do you think there's more awareness or more needs to be done in terms of providing these services for them?
Yes, I think awareness is a very important thing for us because therapies and supports are the mainstay of how you help people with neurodivergent conditions. And you can actually teach parents and teachers and carers a lot of the basics and methods of the different types of therapies that children with this condition need to live a more fulfilling life. And I think, I mean, without having to train lots of different types of therapists, and doctors are more like the last person you need to see. A lot of these cases of children don't really need to reach the level of a psychiatrist. They can be helped in the community level if we raise awareness and teach teachers and parents and educators and carers how to help them.
Violet, what's the message you usually tell families when they come to you?
I realize it can be frustrating and heartbreaking for parents. It's not easy, but we always tell them that they aren't alone and that their child is not broken, that they're just learning and growing in a different way. So with love and the right support, their children can thrive. I mean, there are many neurodivergent children who have grown up to live fulfilling lives, and all they need to do is believe in them and give them a chance.
That's Violet Erasito, a psychiatrist from Fiji.
You're listening to Sisters Let's Talk on ABC Radio Australia.
One of the biggest challenges for children with neurodivergence is navigating the school system. Some children are able to go to regular schools and maybe they will need extra support from the teachers. But there are also special schools for children with disabilities that some neurodivergent kids attend. In Papua New Guinea, Paulina Wingi is a special education teacher at Chesaya Disability Services.
I love these children. It's dealing with the lives of the children where it needs patience. You have a patience, you have a character of humility. Even though this kind of children, some of them will come with a aggressive, come with a behavior disorder. This kind of children, we go with the aggressive attitude. We cannot handle this kind of children. We go with the humility attitude. We settle them. We help them so that these children will settle. We help them to live their own life, relieve the burden of the family or burden of the community. We direct them. We help them. We lead them to help them to live their own way.
Can you please explain to us what it means for children who are on the spectrum or are neurodivergent?
These kind of children, they won't settle. They will move around inside the classroom. Even they won't sit inside the classroom too. But their learning part of it is very intelligent one. They can hear what you are saying, but they will move around to hear what you are saying. So they are learning what we are saying. So it's really challenging too, but then it's really interesting too at the same time I get. Because when we observe and see this kind of children, their intelligence is sharp. They can catch, they can hear what you're saying, and they can improve. Yeah, this year one child with a autism handroll, and now he's settling down. Like in the beginning part of it, we are really struggling because he cannot settle down. He has his own ways of doing things. So like in the house, he's doing different things. And when he comes to the school environment, classroom is different. So we want to accommodate in our classroom environment. Like he used to hesitate. He won't settle inside, but he will go out and then come inside again. So like normally he used to go, come in and like that. Now it's normal to him and he's picking up and now he's settling. Different autism have different way of handling. It's not same as the other autism. Even the other autism will be different. It's not the same one.
And what are some ways that establishments like Cheshire Homes can work with parents to help create a safe and better space for these special children?
Number one is we can build another classroom. That's another option. Like we can build another open space for this kind of children can stay inside in an open space. But right now in our classroom, we have only one building and we divide that building again. And like inside room is not good enough for this kind of children to stay freely and do their activities in that classroom. Spacing is one of the things that we need right now. So like it's our plan now, if we see that this kind of children continue coming, then I will talk to the Josiah management to at least we come up with some of the things that will help this kind of children, especially the buildings. We need to build another classrooms.
Do a lot of parents know what they are doing, or how do you help?
Now a lot of parents are not aware of it, but through our awareness, through our meetings, parents are coming to understand and they see that, or these are the struggles that teachers are facing, or these are the struggles that children are facing. Even of the parents themselves, some of their children's disability, they don't understand it. So like when we teachers come out and do the awareness to the parents again, now they are understanding it. For example, like giving the children right nutrition foods. Some of the food the children eating are contributing to it. So again, the disability again. So when we give them the in-service on nutrition, then parents are aware of it. Oh, this is what we are going to do with the children with special needs, provide their meals in the house.
Paulina, in Papua New Guinea, do parents need proper diagnosis to get the help that they need for their children?
Yes, they need proper, because some of them, they don't know, even their own children, but they just observe through their movements, children movement, like the, for example, like the child is 4 years old, but then like that child is still speaking like 1 year old or 2 year old. Then they see from the signs of the children, you see. They don't understand the situation that their children are going through, but through the symptoms, the parents are recognizing it.
So where can they find services that are available for parents to seek out or to learn more about how to raise neurodivergent children?
The services is, the one is go to the hospital. Okay. Mm-hmm. Two is public awareness. Like someone have to come up, like what we are doing, social disabilities, especially the inclusive, or even that social itself, CBR thing too. We are doing the awareness around. Awareness is another thing that is helping the people to come out. Like some of the disabilities, especially the highly educated people, having the children with disabilities. Some of them, they are fear of bringing their children come out. They hide their children inside because of their names, because of they are well-educated and their child is even coming under the disability. They are feeling shy. The same of the other one will say, say at the back of them. So they have fear of it. So like big thing is we have to do awareness. Awareness is maintain awareness and train them to how to look after them or they can come out from that fear.
Are there schools that are neurodivergent friendly?
Yes, schools do same thing. The other schools, they don't know to. When we go to the other schools and our teachers, especially the CBR, community-based rehabilitation teachers, they used to go around to the communities and even they go to the mainstream schools and do awareness to the schools. Now most of the head teachers and most of the schools are aware of disability now. So some of the teachers, they don't know. So they think that their child is problem with the learning. So they used to say you cannot perform well. They used to inform the parents that your child is not performing well, like end of term report or end of the year report. They used to say like that. But then actually the child is experiencing the learning difficulties. They don't understand these things. So now we teachers go out to the schools and we do awareness to the schools. Now teachers are coming up. Oh, the child is under this category, that the child is under learning difficulties, or child is having hearing impaired, or child is having low vision. So that's why it's not learning. Or the child is having the problem with reading problem, the writing problem. It's a disability now. So now the teachers are identifying it now. So some of the teachers that we used to go around at schools that we do the awareness, now teachers are aware of it. They find it very hard to end on. Then they used to send back to our resource center here, our school here. So we do drilling on them. And then at the end of the year, we see that the child is improving. We send them back to the school again.
Paulina, what do you think needs to be done to better support parents of children who are neurodivergent?
I think it's better that, like in Chosea, we can create a learning center that the open area, open building that parents can, we can train the parents, we can train the teachers. Especially the mainstream schools, we see that inside each individual class that having the children having problem with learning, especially like reading problems or writing problems, or hearing child is inside that classroom, or the low vision child is inside that classroom. I'm thinking of last time we have a meeting, I discussed it with our my general manager that we're supposed to have a building that open that we can train our parents, we can train our teachers about the disability so that when they go back to the various areas that they are living, they can help these kind of children.
Yeah, that's so important. And Paulina, what will be your message to parents who are parenting children who are neurodivergent and figuring out how to parent their child?
My message is this. When they see this kind of children that they are having in the house or at home, so they observe and see them, they can come out and for a place that they will get help, like go to the health or go to the referral parts, go to the areas that they you go there. For example, like you go to health, the health clinic, they cannot help. They will refer to the other centers like Josiah. They come to here, we cannot handle. We can refer to the other areas that can help that child. So referral pathway is very important. When the parents see that their child is not normal, quickly look for the ways to help that child.
That's special education teacher Paulina Wingi. Thanks to my guests today, Paulina Wingi, Violet Erasito, and Betty Kolose Pulefolau. I hope if you are raising a child with neurodivergence, they've helped you to see that there is support available. Sisters Let's Talk is presented by me, Natasha Metten, Our supervising producer is Kim Lester. Our executive producer is Faleanga Fulu Inga Stunzna. Sisters Let's Talk is an ABC Radio Australia production. We acknowledge the Yagara, Turrbal and Darumbal peoples on whose land this program is produced. Emta Sol na looking you next time.